This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Recently at the Rose Oconee Museum, I decided to look back at some old newspapers from about the time Rose Oconee was newly organized, about 125 years ago. There were a lot of advertisements for businesses in Roseau, and in the Roseau region of December 6, 1895, I saw an ad for the City Restaurant and Bakery, Harry Miller, proprietor. Fresh bread, pies, cakes, cookies baked every day, oysters in any style. Board by the day or week, open all night, warm meals at all hours. Give me a call. It was in the Schuberg Brothers Hotel. The same man, Harry Miller, was advertising again in June of 1896, this time from the Hotel Roseau. The ad proclaims his hotel remodeled and refurnished throughout with a good barn in connection with the best care given horses. Harry Miller, proprietor. In the November 27, 1896 edition of the Roseau Region, Harry Miller is again mentioned. Harry Miller's big Newfoundland dog, Zelo, is indeed a very intelligent animal. Every night the dog trots off to the electric light powerhouse with Mr. Marshall's supper in a big tin pail, then returns to the hotel for a kettle containing hot tea. He waits until the electrician has finished eating and then in a dignified manner returns with the pails to the hotel, where he is always rewarded with a handout. Harry is naturally very proud of his dog, as on these cold nights it saves him going himself. Another ad from early 1896, J. A. Cheatham, dealer, wines, liquors, and fine cigars, an agent for the celebrated Schlitz beer. In the same year of 1896, almost every edition of the Roseau region advertised for Mike Holm, tonsorial artist and proprietor of the Roseau Bath Parlors. Special attention given to the dressing of ladies' and children's hair. Of course, at that time, almost all the businesses in Roseau and the neighboring towns were made from wood, and many were heated by wood, too. That led to many fires over the years. In August of 1896, a column in the Roseau region was entitled Roseau's Big Fire. Here is that article. About half an hour after midnight Friday, Roseau citizens were awakened by the dread cry of fire, and within 10 minutes after the first alarm was given, the George Homme building, occupied by Oscar Nelson as a saloon, was a raging furnace past all hope of saving. The flames quickly spread to the adjoining restaurant building, occupied by Dean Benson, then to A.O. Homme's billiard hall, and in 2 hours' time, all three structures were reduced to a smoldering mass of rubbish. For a time, it looked as though the whole block might succumb, and the efforts of the volunteer firemen were directed toward preventing a wholesale conflagration. By the direction of R.J. Bell, large timbers were placed against the south wall of the A.O. Homme building to prevent it falling outward, and then water was constantly poured over the next building, Holmes Barber Shop, until all danger of a further spread of the fire was over. The heat was so intense that it cracked the glass in Parker's drugstore front across the street, and the paint on the barbershop was blistered and burned off. The wind, fortunately, was from the south, and had it blown from any other direction, it would have been impossible to have saved the hotel, Schuberg Brothers store, and the other buildings in the block. Oscar Nelson's stock was totally destroyed, as was his clothing and other personal effects. He had but a few days before increased his stock by over $400, and his loss will foot up to over $1,000. Dean Benson saved all his restaurant stock and fixtures. A.O. Homme, who lived over the billiard hall, lost all his household goods, clothing, etc., but the fixtures of the billiard hall, together with the tables, were rescued. The fire originated in Attorney Metcalf's office over Nelson's saloon by the upsetting of a lamp, and it was Mr. Meadowcroft who first gave the alarm. None of the losers by the fire had any insurance. The rear part of the George Homme building was occupied by Norman Lewis as a carpenter shop, and his loss in tools and material amounts to about $300. A.T. Lawin also loses the greater part of his carpenter tools. A little side note, someone named Shorty saved a dice box from the ruins and is prepared to meet all comers. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.